Violeta is now gonna present how work on from grass. Oh, thanks. From grassroots to standard practices, how an open science society shaped university initiatives. Here you go. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm coming here to talk about my experience at the Surrey Reproducibility Society. So this is the University of Surrey in the UK, where I did my PhD in the last 4 years. I just finished my PhD. Woo! Thank you. Thank you. but yeah, basically, is this working? Next. This society was founded in 2019, which is when I started my PhD, but I wasn't part of it at the beginning. It's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to find out what's going on at the university. And it was funded by Marta Topor, who was a student at the time, and Emily Farran, who is staff. She's a senior lecturer, I think, at the university. And they wanted to create this society to tackle this kind of reproducibility crisis in the field of psychiatry, but with aims to expand to other disciplines. It was a society run by young researchers and postgraduate students. It was open to any students, but undergrads are maybe usually not interested in this kind of societies. And at some point, we have over 100 members, which was very successful for this kind of society. So we were inspired by different grassroots initiatives. So we have the UKRN, the Reproducibility Network in the UK. And this is a national peer-led community of researchers that want to tackle this reproducibility, trust in science, and improving methodology of scientific methods. Also, other initiatives like Reproducibility, maybe some of you know, this is a journal club where people get together to read papers about methodologies and how to improve methodologies and analysis. And then the Riot Reproducible, Interpretable, Open and Transparent is also a science club. I think it was started by King College, London. So basically, those were kind of our aims. So integrate open and transparent and reproducible methods in science, help with this rigor and quality and this trust in science crisis. In, as I was saying, in psychiatry, psychology, but also other social sciences. And then we expanded to kind of all the sciences. And also with the aim of kind of train and teach and learn different skills from different people at the university. So sometimes when you're in a faculty, you may not be talking to everyone in other faculties, right? So if you're in psychology, you are isolated to your area. And then how do you talk to other people? So we organize lots of things, like different workshops and talks, mini hacks. We joined the Reproducibility Journal Club, so we would meet monthly to discuss different papers that we thought it was interesting. And then we also organized conferences in the university. So we managed to create, I think it ran for 2 years, maybe?
Two or three years,
yeah. And that was very interesting because it brought like all the university together, so we could discuss with different people. So not only students from different faculties, but also staff and researchers. And from these different events that we were creating, we started in January 2020 the monthly mini hacks by Danielle Curtin here. She is here. She will be giving a talk later. this was when we started putting a greater focus on the computational methods of these social sciences. So not only that reproducibility, but also we wanted to
for people to have the skills, coding skills, that maybe are not so easily accessible when you are in social sciences or in non-computational fields, but that are very, very important, right, for those fields. So it was this cross-disciplinary collaboration and skill sharing and kind of like hands-on coding. So someone would come, give like a maybe 20-minute talk or 15, 20 minutes about a topic, and then there would be like a collective programming time. And then it's always better to kind of learn these things in a group, right? So you can ask questions instead of just watching a YouTube video or reading something online and then no one is there to guide you. And yeah, it's also useful to encourage and promote these best coding practices. So sometimes, I'm sure many of you have had this problem when you go to like a research academy software project and you have no idea what's going on and all this spaghetti code. So to try to make people be better at coding. And also as a way of training and improving your research and your employability and just your own skills that may be helpful for you in the future outside of the university. And I guess, yes, the isolation and the learning curve that is worse for some people in different fields, or just depending on what background, what opportunities you've had before, right? So with the pandemic, there was a lot of things going on, right? Some of them very bad, and in a way, we had new opportunities because we all went online, so there was more like a global opportunity of sharing from outside the university. I guess we always had this option, but we weren't really used to do things online. So we created the MiniHack Consortium, which is kind of like taking the MiniHacks initiative outside of the Reproducibility Society, which they were still interlinked, but it became its own thing. And we started creating a lot of online courses every month, bringing different people from different universities. We had people from universities in Spain, in Germany, but also in Latin America. We had a collaboration in Colombia. We did a two-day hackathon for neural language processing. So bringing people who were experts in different things to talk about, their experiences and things that were maybe they weren't experts in, but they've learned about, I don't know, if you've done a PhD in some science, you know LaTeX, but when you're starting in research, you have no idea how to write LaTeX, and it all looks like very strange and difficult to understand. So it went very well at the beginning. We had a lot of people interested. We have more people joining the workshop, so when they were in person, maybe it was more difficult to advertise it across the university. But when we went online, we could reach a larger audience, so that was very successful at first. These are some of the tools that we were using, both at the Reproducibility Society and the MiniHack. And so, yes, we have all our files and data at the Open Science Framework repository. So if we had any presentations, we would record them. We would upload the videos so you can go there later. And all the slides and anything that was required at these workshops. Then we publish all the slides and any outputs of these workshops in F1000 Research, which is an open science scientific publisher. So then you could also have your own thing in your CV and record, right? So it would help your in the future. And then obviously we publish all the code in repositories open for everyone to use. And for this advertisement of the workshops, we would use Eventbrite, which is not open, but it was very useful to reach a larger audience. So it's not only the people you know and that already know you, but it also promotes your events in to people who have related interests. So there were a lot of people who had no idea who we were, and they were just joining because they saw the topic was related to their field or something. And this brings me to what happened at the University of Surrey. So we created all these events and workshops and things, and then through Emily Farran, who was part of the staff, she was pushing this to become more policy at the University of Surrey. So more people started joining from the staff, from the researchers' areas, and we got, I think they adopted this open badge, the open badge, yeah, to know that you're I don't know what I was going to say, that your project has all these data standards and all these open standards of research. So they created a working group that was leading this change within the university, and they created a community with forums and chats where they could share all these things across universities, so not just in psychology, but across all the other faculties. They created a research handbook. They actually created an actual module that people can take about open science, learning about open data. And they created this open research annual lecture, which is basically the continuation of the conference we were doing as a student. So to finalize, this is what happened to us. We were very successful at the beginning. We had a lot of people, more than 100 people as members of the society. But with the pandemic, apart from going global, we also had other problems. People were meeting less online, less in person. People weren't going to maybe the faculties and the office to work. So we started like pulling apart. And because students come and go, people were leaving the university, and there wasn't any new people to join and have the time that requires that this type of initiatives require, which is a long time. So I was left alone with the mini hacks, and it just completely faded in my last year of PhD when I couldn't get more people to give more talks or workshops. I just couldn't find anyone else. But at least it's university policy now. Maybe more students will come in the future, and we'll want to take this on. And we learned a lot, so we already have that going on for us. And I don't know if we have any time for questions. Sorry.
We do have 2 minutes, so let's take two questions. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So the question is if all of this work that we've done is anywhere and people can take on from that. Yes. So everything we've done, not only the workshops and the events that we did, but also like our policies, our document of how to organize and how to do everything is in our open source, open science framework repository. So the first point, this thing here. And people can go back there and see, like, how did we do the mailing list? What are the resources that we use? What was the kind of, like, flow of organizing a society? So, yeah, which is helpful even for if you want to create your own society that is not continuing this. Yeah.
There was a second question.
Yes. The European Open Science Club, is this similar to some of them? I don't know. I'm not familiar with this.
Okay.
So would it be like similar to this, but European level? Okay. So I am not aware of the European Open Science Club, but I think it would be very interesting to connect with all the different initiatives that kind of have the same aim in place, and that would probably be useful also to get people to collaborate with this. Thank you.